It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, Jordan.
800-998-1003 is the way to chime into the conversation. As always, appreciate you stopping in and listening. It is Thursday, which means our crew of Katie's is now in full effect, as we do have all of us.
I showed
with
up.
Us here as well. Yes. Well, I mean, you
I showed
are.
You the catering equipment back in my car, which I have to unload and load more stuff back in for a huge job tomorrow. My general manager, Gretchen's out.
Well,
she's got
again. I appreciate all you do, because if you didn't do what you did, we wouldn't be here eating your pizza.
You're right.
Ain't that right?
Correct. It's this time of year, and ain't that busy.
We do appreciate all that you do. But look, people can come out, especially obviously tomorrow. Got the week three of Lent?
Yeah.
Week three of Lent. And, man, you sent me a list.
This is
some
fish
delicious.
This is fresh fish central.
Okay. Go through it, sir.
We've got redfish, fresh, grouper, fresh. Our catfish is even fresh. And we've got trout, fresh speckled trout. So we can do it many different ways, and we will be doing that all day tomorrow. We had grouper last night. We've got redfish and tuna today for lunch.
So when you say you get all your fish, is it majority of it's during the week, or did you get bombarded on Fridays?
I bombarded on Friday. I do all of them on Friday. During the week, we'll mix and match. The deli, I do gigantic seafood platters. It's a half pan. You know what a whole pan looks like?
Oh, yeah.
You can get a half pan or a whole pan. It feeds 2 to 4 or 6 to 8.
Wow.
And it's oysters, shrimp, catfish, crab cakes, hush puppies, frips, and it's just a load of seafood.
That's charbroiled oysters?
Not at the deli. We just have them here. We just have oysters here. The oysters are fried at the deli. But, I mean, it's a great deal if you want to feed your family.
Wow.
It's pretty cool. You know, we do really well with that on Fridays.
All right, look. We're talking about Vasilio call. We're talking about maybe going up to see a Nationals game.
I missed him.
Yeah, he just called. Just got off.
Mm.
So we were looking at the Cubs, and I was looking at the Cardinals. If they got a game up there, you know. I know you always go to St. Louis, and he always goes to Chicago.
Yeah.
You know, we can go to away game and see something
a little bit more
different.
Fun to go to Chicago.
Yeah,
I love St. Louis, but Chicago is like.
What I was thinking, maybe
I think it's
Baltimore,
the best city.
He was thinking
country.
Like going to see the Nationals or Orioles.
Yeah, Nationals or Orioles.
Visit
on
Vasilio.
Purpose.
We'll go see.
Oh,
no, go see
Vasilio.
Yeah, see if the Cubs are, don't the Cubs,
Cubs
have
are
to, or the Cardinals have to play like the
I'm
Nationals.
I'm not going to see a Cards game. Are you out of your mind?
The Cards play the Nationals a lot. The Cubs do too.
Yep.
But he's not
going to
go unless.
I'm not. No, there's absolutely no reason.
But do we play the Orioles?
Jesus.
I don't know.
Just to see somebody different. Why you got to always see the. I'm talking about going up to, you know, going there for other reasons besides, you know.
Well, one of the things I want
to. For what? To push you around in a wheelchair?
That's exactly right. Yes.
Well, I mean, I can live around town.
Hey, just befriend another police officer and we can escort.
We got to be friends with the police in Charlotte.
You know who we go see? What's your boy who's on the. In Congress, Steve Scalise.
What's your boy?
I'm gonna call
your
Steve.
Boy?
Steve. I just heard him on the radio.
Steve.
What's your boy?
He's from Rummel.
Hey, what's your name again?
What?
Who are you?
What's your name again?
Steve Scalise.
I'm old, man. I've had too many concussions.
Steve, Chris,
what?
John Scalise. What are you?
I've been concussed too much.
Slice. Speaking of slice, I got the little pizza.
Look, a little pizza with 400 pepperonis.
Oh, it's delicious. Yeah. It's so good.
It looks good.
But it is Thursday. You still doing the pizza specials on Thursdays?
Yeah, it's $13.
Yes, sir.
You get
a
pepperoni in every bite.
Yeah. No, well, at least a pepperoni on every bite.
Yeah, pretty much.
What's your take on Michael Thomas? Hey, I'm not talking about the tweets and the back and forth and how he and Jeff. I'm talking about just the question here. I want to kind of focus on in hour number one. Number two is how are you remembering him?
As an entitled athlete that didn't give his all, that didn't play through being hurt. I realize he had injuries, and that's different. But I just find him, he's an entitled athlete like 90% of them today.
So you will think of him and his career as the Saints, not as one of the greatest Saints receivers of all time. You're going to think he's an afterthought?
No. He's like Jimmy Graham. what could have been. Now, Jimmy Graham, had he stayed with the Saints, he would be a Hall of Fame tight end. But no, he had to be paid like a receiver. And he wasn't a receiver. He was never a receiver. He screwed up.
Yeah, it's funny because when he did leave the Saints, he didn't get the money
No. He
thought he was going to get. He could have stayed here and put more records.
And gotten $12 million a year or whatever.
They're greedy. I mean, if you can't live off $12 million a year, but I got to have $25 million.
I think he wanted like...
He wanted
13 or 14. He wanted to be paid like a receiver. And it was absolutely ridiculous because he's a tight end.
Right.
He was drafted as a tight end. He's listed as a tight end. You line up as a tight end.
Well, and just
but you want to be paid like a receiver.
They put him out as a wide, that don't mean
occasionally
change. But he's a tight end.
They played him in the slot.
He's still a tight end.
He's a tight end. He screwed up. He knows he screwed up.
So it's like
but Mike Thomas thinks he's God.
Yeah, he does.
And he's not. He could have been. I mean, he very easily could have been. But he's entitled. And it's the problem with athletes. That's why I'm so coach.
And you got to blame the organization. When the organization just throws money at somebody after one year broke all the but you can't.
I know, but we see this. Look, we see this in college. We see this in the pros. We see this on a sport, any sport, right? We tend to, as a fan base, excuse organizations overlook things if it helps them win. Let's just be honest.
Oh, yes,
let's just be honest. I mean, Michael Thomas isn't different today than he was 2 years ago, 5 years ago, 7 years ago, right?
No.
And we look at it all the time. I've always brought this up, too. It's always funny because when it's your school, it's different than when it's somebody else's, right? I used to bring this up all the time back in the day when the show first started, Cam Newton, right? Every school in the SEC cheating Cam Newton, suspend him, and all that stuff. And then several years later, LSU went through a period of there were bar fights and players getting arrested.
But nothing ever happens at Ole Miss.
No. But what I'm saying is, in general, though, the not same much. Fans that were like,
"It's happened,"
you know, doo-doo these guys when it happens to your school. Oh, they're kids. And, you know, there's a lot of pressure.
Yeah, I just got that from a dear friend of mine that's a coach.
But you understand what I'm saying?
And I got on his players last night. On another show,
sure.
and he got irritated with me because I called them entitled. And 90% of his athletes today are entitled. I mean, it's like, geez, man.
Well,
what happened to the love of the game?
Well, I wanted to bring this up, and I sent this to y'all yesterday that I was going to bring this up today. Along those lines, look, we speculated when, I think it was a Thursday, we were here. Oh, it happened Wednesday, and we talked about it the following day when Nick Saban called it quits.
Yep, you heard
it. We speculated.
I speculated that it was day. NIL and transfer.
Well, then yesterday, ESPN put out a big story, and quote, "I was really disappointed in the way the players acted after the game. Yep. You got to win with class. You got to lose with class." And then later on in it, he says, "And then showing your rear end and being frustrated and throwing helmets and doing stuff." He didn't care for that. Apparently, there's some players mooning Michigan,
it is
whatever.
More than that, man. It was the combination.
Here's the part right here.
Right.
I thought we could have a hell of a team next year, and then maybe 70 or 80% of the players you talk to, all they want to know is two things.
Yep.
What assurances do I have that I'm going to play because they're thinking about transferring?
Yes.
And how much are you going to pay me?
Yep.
So I'm saying to myself, maybe this doesn't work anymore. And again, this is a guy that even Jimbo Fisher earlier this week said, we need a commissioner of college football, and it should be Nick Saban.
Right.
This is a guy that a lot of people respect in the game.
Yep.
He's won national championships.
Yep.
He's coached. Yep. He has done well.
Yep.
For him to say, I can't do it, I think that's telling. Now,
he's still wanting to
be a commissioner and change what's going on.
Right.
It needs to be changed.
It needs to be changed.
There needs to be some control.
I look at it from this aspect of it.
Caps on this NIL.
How realistic is that? Because at some point, right, and it's something that a good friend of mine, Greg, who's in my college group that we, you know, text chat all the time. At some point, as he put it, you know, the Piper's going to run out of, you know, notes to play here or the – Who feeds this, right? I mean, like, feeds this? College sports is just as expensive to go to pro sports. Pro sports is not exactly cheap to go as well. And you know this, owning a restaurant right now. The dollar is thin, right? So people coming out and eating, your food. I mean, everyone is having to struggle with that.
Yes.
So I understand the, hey, players should be compensated, players should look at this, and schools, I get all that. People are having to choose where they're spending their money.
Yeah.
And at some point, you know, I need a PSL license in order to buy tickets to go to Ole Miss or LSU or something. And it's not just football. You know, hey, baseball wants some of your money. Basketball wants some of your money. This is all the same school. You want all? I need NIL money now. So not just for you to go buy your tickets, John, but now Ole Miss is, I need NIL money aside from your normal donation. So at some point, I don't know if it's sustainable.
Well,
right?
what they got to do here is, first off, they
like
got,
keep saying, look at my new $200,000 Lamborghini.
Right, this is how you got to, if you're going to take steps to do this correctly, first and foremost, you have to get rid of the transfer portal because they tell you why. That's what these players getting their money at. You have to go in the transfer portal to be able to get cash money from somewhere else. So if you eliminate that, say, hey, you can't leave to go somewhere else because you're weighing what you're making at this school. I can go get $1 million of that guy. That's why I'm leaving. Now, all that being said, how are you going to stop? Listen, I got paid well. I was taken care of at Ole Miss. When I say pay, well, I'm not talking about the millions of dollars. I mean, like, cars and places to live and some cash here and there. Everybody got it back in the day. It's going over now the same way. How are you going to police that? Even though you say you come in and say, oh, we got to put a cap on it. Okay, the quarterbacks can only make $100,000. You doggone think, well, if somebody else that wants a quarterback bad, they're going to slide it under the table.
100%.
He's making $100,000 on paper that shows the committee, but behind closed doors, he's making $2 million. And you don't think they yap it? He pulls up in a $250,000, you know, vehicle. They all talk. They're all talking. Because
right.
Then what happens the next year? He jumps ship and goes somewhere else. Well, he ain't going there because he makes $100,000.
Right.
He's going there somewhere because somebody's now paying him under the table. That's back to paying under the table.
There's no rules.
Well, nothing. And again, it'll be interesting to see if that happens. We'll come back. TJ, we'll come to you right out of break. We're live at Katie's. It is our Thursday crew of Katie, Chef Scotty, John 4K, Gus Cattingill with you on ESPN New Orleans.
Ramses gives you.
He's back.
He's like the thing that when you shut up.
He's got his own catchphrase.
He's the best invention since they started frosting Pop Tarts.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Cattingill.
Let's just say there are a lot of players that aren't happy. Apparently, somebody's not happy at Sean Payton with the Broncos that got released there.
Yeah, that's Simmons, the defensive star.
Oh, that's Justin Simmons?
Yep. He got released or about to be released, Justin Simmons. And he said, blank you, George Patton. Blank you, Sean Payton. Blank you, Broncos. What an asinine move all the way around. Why don't trade him instead of just releasing him? To move up in the draft, dumb, you know what?
Yeah, there's a lot of people not.
That's a fan in Denver.
You know, that's Sean Payton. He's just.
Oh, stop it.
He doesn't care about anybody.
You know what?
He's just worried about, you know.
Steelers are interested in signing Russell Wilson. We'll meet him prior to free agency next week.
That was mine.
Do you think, all right, so you started off in him. Why would that be the fit for you?
Because Mike Tomlin knows how to work with these players. My opinion, Mike Tomlin's the best coach in the league. He's always got a winner.
Right.
No, he hasn't won a lot of championships, but if I had my druthers and we didn't have Dennis Allen right now, I would want Mike Tomlin to coach his team.
And my take is, but my
take coming to you right after
this. That's my dream coach.
And my small take on this is that there's not a lot of teams out there want him in a style of play that Arthur Smith runs as a play action with a good running game. That's all he was. When he was in Seattle, that's what he made. Well, he had the beast mode back there. You know, he got some decent players, got a good running game there, got a good O-line, got a great defense in Pittsburgh. Why not? I mean, you're not getting anything from Kenny Pickett or anybody else producing. If Wilson can't produce, then you can always go back to Kenny Pickett.
TJ, thank you.
And maybe Pickett can learn.
Right. Well,
thank you for giving us a call here on the Sports Hangover. You're on with Chef Scotty, John Forcade. What's up, TJ?
Yeah, what's up, guys? How you doing?
Doing well, man.
I just want to, I'm calling in. I was listening in to the Michael Thomas disrespect. To say this man ain't give it all, to say this man ain't, you know, ain't played his camp for money, or whatever that last caller did, it's idiotic. And whoever is sitting there on Saudi or Zen with their idiotic stuff, this is stupid. The man got hurt on a meaningless play in 2020. Sean Payton running up the scope against the Bucs. His career went down from there. But nobody seems to remember he tried to come back on one leg, trying to help Drew Brees win once last episode. So you can say that man ain't give it all, you say he's selfish or whatever dude stands sitting on side of you. It's just stupid. Like, you can't say nothing about Derek Carr, but you get on here and bash Michael Thomas for getting hurt when he gave it all every year. But you can't say nothing about Derek Carr. It's a problem. So I just want to address that because it sounds very, you know, it don't sound good, whatever y'all got going on over there. Not you guys, but the guest host or whatever, your stupid callers or saying stupid stuff. It's very disrespectful, and it don't sound good at all.
Well, that's why I brought it up, because it is very interesting. He's one of the more polarizing players I can remember being on the Saints staff or on the Saints team, where I feel a guy that, you know, to your point, set records, and whether you agree with it or not at the time, John, I mean, he got the contract because he was one of the top receivers in the league, that at the same point and at the same time, whether it's perceived, whether it was factual, whether it's, as he's pointed out and others have pointed out, the constant battle between him not wanting surgery and the team maybe wanting surgery to fix certain injuries that he could have gotten back sooner and things of that nature. There was always a battle, which is something that I always wanted to ask you, because you had 31 surgeries here. How much of that is something that players do think about nowadays? Or, I mean, like, is it easy for you to be like, let's just go under a knife and go ahead and do that, where some players don't want to do that, and, you know, and it does agitate the team because they just see the player wanting to come back as quickly as possible.
We're talking in different time zones here. When I played, the money wasn't nowhere near what it is now with these players. But when a guy signs a big contract, a lot of these guys, and I've seen it happen, ain't not a person going to tell me anything differently. I've seen it, witnessed it. A guy who has a big contract, that if he's hurt, he's going to milk it out as long as he can because he knows he's getting his money eventually. Then you got the guys who aren't making the money that want to go out and have that surgery, so maybe that'll help them get back and get playing to be able to make that money. I just don't know what goes into a guy's thinking, but I guarantee the ones who are not making the money, they're going to go under the knife or whatever, try to get back in and play. And then the guys who are making big money, and a lot of those guys tend to, all right, I'm going to rehab it. But how do you rehab it, and then all of a sudden before the season begins, I'm going to go have surgery? Well, wait, you said you wasn't going to do it. You waited so long, then you have surgery, and right, it cost you part of playing.
I think something else that's interesting, and TJ brought this up too, Chef Scotty, Derek Carr this past season and the relationship with fans was so intriguing to me. How, I mean, people turned on that guy faster than anybody I've ever seen. And to TJ's point, Derek Carr played injured.
Yeah, he did.
He played every week with that, and still his fan base wished that he was hurt.
Right.
Michael Thomas, you know, doesn't play. Do you think that has something to do with it, TJ? I mean, how do you look at how the fan base kind of treated Derek Carr and treats Michael Thomas? Is it the same? Is it different?
It's definitely a difference. It's a clear difference because you say one thing bad about Derek Carr, then you don't trust. You don't like the team. You don't. You're a fake fan. But this man, Michael Thomas, gave it all every year. He earned his contract. He earned his money. He just got hurt. It happened. He got hurt. Like, it's the same thing with Lattimore. They're trying to put Lattimore out the door. They're talking about milking injuries. You don't know what these people are going through. So just to say that milking injuries, yeah, Derek Carr played because they didn't want James Winston to play. We know why Derek Carr played every week. We know why that happened. So it's not even the same to me, because you know why Derek Carr played. If James Winston, they didn't want James Winston to see the field. You know what that is, Russ.
All right, TJ, thank you for the phone call, man. I appreciate it. 800-998-1003. Saints fans want to hear from you here as well, as obviously it does look like the Michael Thomas era is gone and gone. And I just kind of, how are you going to remember?
I'm not going to lose any sleep over you.
No.
I'm not.
Is that interesting, though, when you think about it? Because
it's next man up.
No, I hear you.
Next
but you brought up. It up in a long Chef Scotty did here as well. the Jimmy Graham could have been thing.
Right.
You're talking about two of the best offensive players in the history of the New Orleans Saints.
Yeah.
History, right? And, like, on March 7th, if I asked you how to talk, like, if Jimmy doesn't have the year that he had last year, where he does come back, and people, no, I'm not saying he performed.
Okay.
But, like, people were wanting him to play, and he's, like, you know, right. The last photo that he left when he's flying out of town was the Crescent City behind him. And, you know, like, it did feel like that chapter came to a happy conclusion. Does that make sense?
Well, he picked up some money and he got out of it.
You might come back another year.
Okay, but that's what I'm saying. Do you hear what I'm saying, though?
It's like,
when he left, and Josh called and said the same thing, like, there are a lot of Saints fans like, look at this guy. This guy's a diva. He didn't want to be here. But it is interesting because when you think of the best athletes or the best at their positions in franchise history, the record books will show you. It is Michael Thomas at receiver. It is Jimmy Graham at tight end.
Right.
Yeah.
You know?
But what could have been?
So for both those players, you would say that.
Here's my deal with Michael Thomas. Remember when he could have had the surgery? And he would have been back in time for the season.
Correct.
And he decided not to have the surgery.
So,
that is selfish.
Well, let me ask you this. Is he viewed in the same light as Brandon Cooks?
Michael Thomas was a much better receiver than Brandon Cooks.
Yeah, but why do I feel like people don't hate Brandon Cooks in the city?
I don't like Brandon
Cooks. Brandon Cooks got kicked out.
I would say dislike, maybe not hate.
Right. Brandon Cooks got traded because of his mouth.
It was a locker room issue.
And the same thing would have happened with Mike Thomas. You know, these comments during the season on social media, it was unnecessary.
Correct.
It just shows lack of character. Whether you like Derek Carr or not.
So why did they keep him so long?
Because he's a great player.
Which
I mean,
goes
when,
back to what I was saying before
when
he
was available, he was a great player.
But he hasn't been available.
But he's never been available.
So availability, you think, determines perhaps how players are remembered and viewed?
Well, that's part of it.
And also, you remember now, they had to keep him around here to maybe get something out of him because of the contract. You just don't get rid of a guy because it could cost you a lot more. They stretch it out as long as they can till they can get it feasible enough to work something out. But if you don't have the availability, I don't care how much money you make and how many your stats are your greatest thing in the world. If you're not producing in the last 3 or 4 years, you can't keep blaming everybody else. You got to look at yourself in the mirror.
Right.
And let me say this. All teams have medical staffs. All teams have doctors. All teams have ownerships. So wherever you go, you can't pull that every time. But the fact that when he blamed Carr for a pass in one game, I'm sick. I saw the pass. It wasn't a bad pass. It hit his hands. He got hurt on a play. And you blame the quarterback saying he shouldn't throw in the ball? Well, that's where you're supposed to go with the ball when you're open. And so guys get hurt. Guys get hurt. He got hurt, but I'm still going back. Like I said, they asked him to have surgery. Where have you been going to team 5, 6, 12, 15? They said the same thing. You need to have surgery. All right, and you don't want to have it. They got people out there, doctors are saying, this is like the only way you get back on the field to play, and this is going to be fine.
Right.
And if you wait and you wait and you wait and you wait, it's never going to heal.
He didn't want to have the surgery.
He
was making $20 million a year, and he didn't want to have the surgery, so he didn't get to play. Now, whose fault is that?
800-998-1003. Nat, thank you for giving us a call here on the Sports Hangover. What you got for us, bud?
Hey, Gus. Let me tell you the deal about Mike Thomas, in my opinion. Look, was he a great athlete when he was on the field? He was. But what turned people off in New Orleans about him, which y'all not talking about, is his mouth. He had a big mouth and was negative towards everything. All these social media posts that he constantly put on, bashing, you know, Sean Payton and that staff constantly. He started to get into politics. All of that kind of stuff started to turn people off in New Orleans, and it gave him a bad look. If he would have just played the game and dealt with his injuries, that would have been one thing. But once he got paid all of that money and started to get balls on him to put all his stuff out there, that's what turned him off. Thank you. That's all I got to say.
I totally agree. When a guy gets paid, he feels like now he's making a lot of money, one of the richest guys on the team, and I can say what I want to say and do what I want to do. Because nobody's going to touch him because of that fact. And you see that with not just Michael Thomas. Go look at other players and other teams. Same thing's happening. Look at these guys that get the big contracts and don't produce or they get injured or whatever happens. But you're right. He has spoken out every other week about something, and he's not even in the locker room. He's not even in on the sideline of the team, but he's at the house with a computer or a phone or whatever he's doing. That's not, he's not. He's not. So, look, it's over with. The time has to go, and everybody's got to go off and do something else. That's just what the Saints got to make a decision. Decision, we're going to release him and go get someone else.
You know what's interesting, and again, kind of to your point, when you go back and look at the culture comments that were made by Dennis Allen and also Mickey Loomis, specifically about the culture change and trying to get on there. And look, again, Scotty, you know how I feel about this. I would have had no problem if the plan I'm seeing in place now, the what's called the spring pressure washing. Maybe it's not a complete pressure washing. Like, I pressure washed my backyard this weekend, but I didn't do the whole house. But it does look like releasing Michael Thomas, moving on, whole new offensive staff, whole new philosophy. They could have done this 2 years ago, but I mean, it does seem like...
I will agree with you on that.
Like this. I mean, but it seems
when
like
you
that.
Have an offensive coordinator that basically said, I really don't want to do this.
But you hire
him anyway.
Yeah, 2 years from now, you think you're going to talk about Michael Thomas?
Nope. Which is incredible to me because he set
the NFL record for receptions.
That's what
Great
I'm saying.
Job,
it is incredible.
You got a lot of records that have been broken and made from other players. You don't hear about them no more.
It is incredible.
It's great.
Head coach Kenny Farrell, we'll talk a little soccer here for a segment. That will give us a chance to see what's going on there here as well. Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
That man's got some stones.
Believe me, he is no wood.
His legend lives on.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
Alyssa Nair, the U.S. Women's National Soccer keeper.
Yeah.
She also took a penalty kick as well in that game. How frequent does that happen as the U.S. move on to the final of what's the name of the tournament again here that they're playing?
It's the Women's Gold Cup.
Yes, it's the Women's Gold Cup.
Yeah.
Not to be confused with the World Cup, which is coming.
It's coming.
But the Gold Cup is something that, obviously, they lost a game, right?
They lost to Mexico, yeah.
Right, they lost to Mexico. And you and I were texting a little bit about that here as well as to what that sort of meant or not. How big was that win yesterday for them on the grand scale of things, even though it's not the World Cup?
It's psychologically very big because when you think about it, they basically tied Canada. They lost to Mexico. They won their other game against Colombia. And they get through to the final, which is where the USA needs to be. But in the bigger picture, a lot of the rest of the countries, Europe, South America, and Central America, all catching up to the USA in women's soccer. So they've got their work cut out ahead of them. But psychologically, it's very important that they got there and that they're in the final again because they have dominated the world for so long. And especially in this hemisphere over here, it's important for them to be in the final.
Look, and I mean this in the nicest of ways, but do they need kind of like we were just talking about with the Saints here, John, with a culture change, a reboot, things that I mean, obviously Alex Morgan's still on there and stuff, but you know, we knew so many of the faces of women's soccer, and now it's to the point where we probably know a handful more of the men's side, right? Because as they're getting better and stuff. And look, I get it; it's cyclical. I mean, that an insane run with 3 straight World Cups, all this other stuff. So it is kind of interesting to sort of see, right? I mean, is that where you would say they are right now, trying to kind of reestablish themselves?
Yeah, I think they've recognized that, you know, the way they were winning games was that they were superior for so long. They've always been superior. They've always been the best. So you've got to reevaluate now that they're starting to lose games, ties games. What's coming ahead with the new generation is that other parts of the world are technically becoming better than our players. Now, physically, we are very strong players. And mentally, American athletes, especially women, are very, very strong. So they've dominated the world with that over the years, and they have been technically better. But around the world, you see the professional league starting up in Europe, and, you know, the very high-level leagues that are playing in front of, you know, 20,000 people. They're starting to produce the players over there. So they've got to keep their eye on it. Listen, this game in itself, psychologically, is very important for the USA to be in the final and to go
against
win it.
Against Brazil?
Yeah, and to go win it, yeah.
Again, we'll keep an eye on that here as well on everything else. When it comes to the men, they're going to be playing Brazil in June, which is kind of a big thing there as well. Lots of eyes on there, but it's been a bit since we've last seen them on the pitch a little bit.
Yeah.
But in 2024, they've had some games where you're feeling a little bit better about them, aren't you?
Yeah, no, I told you. Like, I've been watching them since the World Cup, and I think they actually did well in the World Cup to get to the last 16. And I think they performed really well. And then they had the problems with the coach and Reyna and this kind of stuff. It was upset. But as I said, I went out to see the game in Arizona when they played Mexico in April. And I was with the team out there. And it was the spirit in that team is really good. The age level is really good. They've got the experience of the World Cup behind them. And I think this tournament coming up and being held in the USA is really important for these young players now to get the experience moving it on if they've got their eyes in the World Cup in 3 years' time.
So,
the Brazil game's what a warm-up game. It's actually a warm-up game. It's not actually one of the games that are in the tournament during the summer. But they may face them later on if they do well. But it's a great game for them going into it.
About 7 minutes here with head coach Kenny Farrell of your New Orleans Jesters. We're going to be doing a soccer report once a week to kind of keep you posted. John, we're going to turn you into a soccer fan here at some point.
Well, you know.
We'll get you a kit.
Yeah.
It's called a jersey.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
But I do know the patch is.
They run small.
You know the patch is?
Man.
You know the patch is?
I can't breathe all of a sudden.
What is a patch?
What's a patch?
Yeah. Well, what's the patch?
Of, like, the team name?
No, Nummy. The patch is the field, if I'm not correct.
The pitch. You know what?
The pitch, the patch.
That's the southern accent.
I just saw that today. I just saw something right there. I said, what the heck are you talking about?
I had no idea what you're talking about.
Me neither.
Well, there's patches on the jerseys.
Okay, I got the pitch.
All right, let's go through a couple of topics here.
Do you know what the pitch was?
I do know what a pitch is. Okay. The CONCACAF Champions League, sir. What do you want to hit on that?
Oh, well, we've got a huge game tonight in Nashville and Inter Miami, which is Messi. Suarez playing Nashville, another great club that's, you know, just been in the MLS for like 4 or 5 years now that have done really, really well. But for American soccer in itself, being able to draw attention to this, by the way, it's on TV tonight. You can turn it on regular TV and watch the game.
Instead of Apple, I know.
Yeah, which is fantastic, but that's because it's a CONCACAF game. But it's a huge tournament, and I think everybody wants to win that because it's a tournament of the Central and North American clubs. And I think it'll be a great game to watch. The fact that it's on free TV is excellent for us because people can just tune in and don't have to go through Apple. But you're going to see Messi, who's brought that attention to the game over here.
So, I mean, let's be honest. Yeah. His arrival has been ridiculous, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's been unbelievable.
I mean, did you even expect him to play this well? Honestly?
I didn't think he'd dominate as much.
Right.
I mean, I thought people, you know, give him a hard time over here and be physical with him and this, that, and the other. But he is just playing at the top of his game. It's incredible. When you watch his highlights, they're amazing. They're absolutely amazing.
It's crazy.
And his goals are unbelievable.
I try to think a lot of times we talked about it, like with football players, you know, we talk about running backs, miles. We always use those, no tread left on the tires, things of that nature. When you think of soccer, and you think of the amount of games he's played, the amount of running, is it still remarkable that he's still that fast, that quick, that much better than most players on the pitch, John?
Yeah.
The guy's played, how many years has he been
19.
A
19.
19 years.
Yeah. He's 36 years old right now.
That's incredible. Like, I don't know. You know soccer better than me, obviously. How long do players tend to play in soccer?
So, players can push themselves usually till, you know, 32, 33 and still be effective. Maybe not strikers and players like that, but goalkeepers can push themselves a little longer. But still, it's very grueling. They're playing three professional games a week, basically for 19, 20 years, and he's still producing at that level.
So he's like LeBron is right now in the NBA, where the guy can still just drop ridiculous games and still looks like the fastest and best player on the court.
Yeah, and remember, when you play soccer, so you play the domestic season from basically August through the following May.
Right,
and then you play internationals during the summer, international tournaments. You really don't take much time off at all. So he's been playing straight for about 19 years.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's
and
incredible.
He just looks incredible on the pitch.
What time is that game tonight?
I think it's 8 o'clock. I think it's 8.
Yeah. Women's Gold Cup, we talked about USA in Brazil here as well. Liverpool and Man City. Why am I paying attention to this one?
It's the biggest game in the world this week, I think. It's on Sunday.
See how big soccer
is? It's the biggest game in the world.
Biggest game in the world.
Yeah, I mean, all eyes are going to be on it because you've got Manchester City defending champions of the English Premier League, which is the top league in the world.
Sure.
They're in second place, 1 point behind Liverpool.
Oh.
Who... and they're playing at Liverpool. So whoever comes out on top of this will be the top of the league and in the run into the end of the league. And that's probably two of the best footballing sides at the moment that I've seen anywhere. The way they're moving the ball and playing the ball, it's absolutely incredible. So as a spectacle, this should be an absolutely incredible game. I'm leaning towards Man City on this one.
Really?
Yeah.
That happens to be your team, though. Right.
No, Manchester United is mine. No. Don't go there.
Well, I that's what I'm saying. I didn't know if you would have transferred from Man U to Man City.
No, we're not doing that.
I'm going to London in September. Is soccer still being played over there?
Because
we wanted to go over to Liverpool.
Yeah.
And, from London, we're going to catch a train.
That's right.
But I know they got soccer, and Tanya made a comment about it. I said, well, that's a beautiful stadium. I saw all that.
I think it'd be real good for you to go see that.
Go see that.
Have an understanding.
But go check out the patches.
The patch.
The patch.
The pitches.
The patches. The pitches. I'm
going to
check the pitches.
There's a few patches
out there. When I was looking at everything, I saw, in soccer, you know about in the NFL, it's Atlanta, Detroit, Dallas, all the cities. So when I got to London, I'm like, man, there's Manchester, there's London, and then there's Manchester's about a couple hours away or an hour and a half. Then you got Liverpool, then you got all these other cities. I'm like, you hear so much about soccer, these names that are always coming out there. So I'm like, I'm this close to one.
You got to go to one. If you go to Anfield or Liverpool, it's an interesting thing, Gus, is that there's two teams in Liverpool that are in the Premier League. They're literally a walk across the park. Like a quarter of a mile from each other. Both sell out every weekend. One sells out, I think, about 60,000. The other one sells out to about 40,000. Every week. The stadiums are looking at each other. It'd be like the Saints and the Falcons looking at each other across the park.
Oh, Lord. Can you imagine that?
They're looking at each other across the park.
Wow.
And that city split with the fans, by the way. Be careful what pub you go into and wear. Be careful. Be careful what colour you wear.
I want to make sure I go see the Beatles, see if they're still around.
But that game, again, is on free TV. It's on USA.
Yep, USA Network and Telemundo as well.
Yeah, it's very worth watching.
Streaming options, FUBU, NBC Sports here as well. Looking forward to that. And, again, you're seeing the standings on that. It's something else. 100 days to go into what, sir?
The European Nations League, which is, again, it's like a mini World Cup. We're going to have the CONCACAF Nations League here, which is basically the one we've been talking about with the USA playing Brazil and stuff like that. At the same time in Europe, you're going to have the best nations that have been qualifying for 2 years to play in an international tournament, which is some of the best soccer you'll ever see. And as I say, it's always 2 years in between the World Cups. Comes up this summer. Again, they'll be all over TV. The amount of soccer that's coming over the next 6 months, I told you this last week, is absolutely over the top.
And it's going to be on, over the airwaves TV to do something about that. You guys are getting close. Have you started practicing yet, the Jesters?
No, we do our tryouts, not next weekend, the weekend after.
Tryouts. John, you should try out.
So, I mean, I've got most of the squad put together.
You push me in the chair?
I'm looking for a goalkeeper.
I already got cut already. I didn't get my chance to try out there.
No, but not next weekend. The weekend after at Pan American Stadium. And then training will start the following week. But like most of the squad is filled. But the local players we want to see and see what talent's out there so that we can see.
When do y'all start up? When the season begins?
May 4th.
May 4th.
May 4th.
So that's real quick for you. So, y'all play the summer league, right? How long till what? Till the end of...
Well, if we run all the way through, we'll play till the second week in August.
Okay.
Pretty much like a double-A baseball.
So now, my question to you is, did you see the soccer game with 42 inches of snow in Utah?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, what's your take with that? I mean, should they have played it or should not have played it?
Oh, of course they should have played it.
I do want to bring this up before we run out of time here because we're getting close to our break. Todd Graffinini listening in over in Philly where the Pels play the 76ers tomorrow. Sunday, he'll be in Atlanta.
Uh-huh.
And it says he will be at a soccer bar in Atlanta Saturday morning to watch Everton
and
take
Manchester
on
United.
Manchester United. And he did say he's an Everton fan.
Oh.
The other team in Liverpool.
I can live with that. Well, tell him my commiserations for him.
Oh, okay.
how does Todd know about that?
Oh, he loves.
He loves soccer?
It's a very popular sport.
Oh, yeah.
Where?
The world. NFL quarterback.
We'll have a.
Well, who do you like in that game while he's listening right now?
Manchester United.
Why?
I just think technically, I mean, where Everton is right now, I don't think they have the players to win it. I mean, they're a hard-working, aggressive team. They close down. They work very hard. They're disciplined. But the skill level's not there. I think if United show up and play, they'll win the game. For Everton to win it, United have to come out very poorly, put it that way.
Okay, easy enough.
I want to see some fighting in soccer.
What?
You see a lot of flopping, but I want to see them.
You know what?
Instead of two guys yapping.
So you're going to be doing this on Thursdays until the season starts, if you're cool with that.
Yeah, come by.
So next week at Francesco, some of the segment, let's explain to John how physical soccer is.
Oh, he has no idea.
No, he doesn't think it's very physical.
I think you would last 2 seconds on a soccer pitch, even in your best days.
Look, I know how to go stand over the corner and watch 90 minutes goes around.
You're going to stand in the corner?
I'm a jog in place and run around.
Kenny Farrell's going
to... when the ball comes my way, I'll try to get in this way.
I'll tell you what, if John's just standing there, the guy that holds the little marker that has the jersey numbers, that's coming out real quick, huh? You're subbing him out?
We could have made you a goalkeeper.
I'd have been pretty good at that, you know.
Yeah, I think you'd have been a good goalkeeper. Big boy.
I got good feet work. I got real good feet work.
Oh, I've seen that. I've seen the highlights.
I have good feet
work. Highlights, yes.
His highlights.
Hey. Yeah. Is there anything in soccer like his infamous play that made the top 100 plays in NFL's greatest history where you throw an interception, get it back, and then score a touchdown? Mm-hmm. So it would almost be like an own goal. But it hits the crossbar, comes back out onto the pitch, and then you take it and score a goal.
There's plenty of that.
Nobody touched me on that play.
I'll send you a few videos for next week to have a look at a few of those.
Really?
Yeah, I will. Yeah.
So it's happened.
Yeah, it happens a lot. Yeah. Well, it can happen.
Okay.
And it's devastating when it happens.
We're going to talk about that here as well.
If it happens against you, it's devastating.
How can people get more info on the Jesters, sir?
NolaJesters.com. Go there, and I know that we've got a bunch of social media out there if they want to look it up. But
awesome.
I'm not too tuned into that.
All right, every Thursday we're going to have Coach Kenny Farrell on, give us our soccer update, EPL, Champions League, all that other stuff. Thank you so much, sir, for stopping by.
Cheers, brother.
All right, Jeff Boggs, KNAE, comes up next on ESPN New Orleans.
106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses. Hit it.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
800-998-1003. So we're live at Katie's. It's our Thursday crew of Katie's. John Forcade, Kenny Farrell still enjoying his lunch over here as well. Head coach of your New Orleans Jesters. Each and every day around this time, we bring in Mr. Jeff Boggs from our sister station, KANE. Always letting us know how to be a part of ESPN Bets. Jeff, good afternoon to you, sir. How are you?
Good. I am good, and good afternoon to you and yours out there. Sounds like you're having a good time.
It is. Well, I mean, it's a gorgeous afternoon. You got to enjoy the weather where it's like this, no doubt, for sure, sir. Last night, more fun and exciting games in the NBA. And I didn't see the Warriors holding the Bucks to 9 points in the fourth quarter yesterday as Golden State won in that one here as well. So, look, obviously the Pels don't play again until tomorrow. So, back to scoreboard watching we go. Let's start with the Nuggets as they get back into action tonight here. Jeff, how do you see this one tonight with Denver?
Well, Nuggets at home against Boston. Boston coming off that tough loss the other night in Cleveland. Nuggets 1.5-point favorites. Over under 220.5 points, money line the same for both, which is kind of weird. And I double checked ESPN Bet on that, but they are showing the money line the same at -110 for both teams. One of the reasons the Nuggets may be able to cover: Denver had won 6 consecutive games prior to that loss to Phoenix in overtime Tuesday. Nuggets rallied from 22 points down to force overtime before coming up short there. And the Nuggets, 1 game behind Minnesota and Oklahoma City in the race for the number 1 seed in the Western Conference. Denver, 24-6 at home this season, while 10 of Boston's 13 losses have come on the road. So, tight spread there. Nuggets not giving up a lot. I kind of like them in this one tonight. But one of the reasons the Celtics can cover, they've covered the spread in 6 of the last 9 matchups. They're also 6-1 against the spread in their last 7 games this season. And also keep in mind, Brown, apparently he's listed as questionable for tonight's game. He's got a bit of a pelvis issue there. So, but again, I kind of like the home team -1.5.
Oh, tell you what, Denver and the Celtics, there ought to be a good one there. when we look at the other games, the Suns, man, Denver, I would have loved for Denver to be able to get that win against Phoenix. The last time they were out on the court, they didn't, so thanks for nothing. But Phoenix tonight taking on the Raptors. Pels just played them. They beat them by 41. Phoenix, 10.5-point favorite here. My betting, Carver's college tuition on the Suns tonight.
Minus 10.5, the Suns, and obviously, as you mentioned, the Raptors haven't been real close to the spread a whole lot this season. 233.5 over under the betting line. Suns minus 500, Raptors plus 380. Some of the things you may want to know about the Raptors. Again, you just mentioned the score against the Pelicans the other night. But Toronto enters tonight's matchup again shorthanded without Scottie Barnes. He's got a hand issue. Jacob Pelty, a finger. Bruce Brown, his knee. And what you may want to know about the Suns, Devin Booker, unable to play because of an ankle injury that he suffered on Saturday against the Rockets in their last game. X-rays were negative, but Booker, while he's not going to be impacted long-term, won't be able to play tonight. Suns will have 27.5 points, 6.8 assists, and 4.6 rebounds to replace. So again, 10.5 doesn't seem tough to overcome for Phoenix tonight, but go Raptors, right?
Yes. Go Raptors, find a way to win that way, and I'm hoping that a back-to-back legs, little tired Kings team struggles tonight at home. They're big favorites as well, double-digit favorites against the visiting Spurs. I know Wemby's been playing well, but the Kings taking care of LeBron last night and the Lakers.
Yeah. You know, Kings minus 10.5 on this one at home. The over-under, 235.5. Money line, Kings minus 550. Spurs plus 425. The Spurs 3-1 against the spread over their last four games. The Kings 2-1 against the spread over their last three games. And the Spurs will be out without Victor Wembanyama, that ankle issue that he picked up the other night. Again, the Spurs are going to need players such as Devin Vassell and Keldon Johnson to play key roles. And quite frankly, in six games without Wembanyama, Johnson is averaging 22.5 points, 6.5 boards, 3.5 assists. So he seems to step up when Wemby cannot be in the game. And a couple of things you may need to know about the Kings coming off that 10-point win against the Lakers yesterday. But again, back-to-back games. Spurs allow the sixth most points per game, some 120.2, as the Kings look to continue, though, their strong season in the second half, but a back-to-back today. 10.5 points, again, against a Wembanyama-less Spurs team isn't looking too much of a risk.
How can people get involved with ESPN Bets, Jeff?
All righty. Again, it's the official sports book of ESPN, ESPN Bet, live in Louisiana, the only place to find daily exclusives and offers with your favorite ESPN personalities and shows. New users, you get $100 in bonus bets for making any bet on the sportsbook. Find all your favorite markets, in-game wagering, cross-sport parlays, teasers, all the props you can handle. Again, ESPN Bet, download it today. Remember, you got to be 21 or older, and if you do have a gambling problem, please deal with it. 1-800-522-4700, and it is in partnership, ESPN Bet, that is, with Liberge Lake Charles. Terms and conditions apply, and see the app for the details. Guys, enjoy your lunch, and we'll do it again tomorrow.
Indeed. Jeff Boggs from our sister station, KANE, is the way to chime into the conversation. Speaking of some of the teams in and around the Western Conference that you keep an eye on, look, I know they're around the top of the Western Conference, John, but one of the things that happened that took place last night, when Wendy, Brian Windhorst reported on.
And there's a possibility that exists he could miss time. And the Wolves,
Carl Anthony Towns,
right,
suffering a meniscus injury. Here's Wendy.
They're in first place right now by half a game. I do believe in the Wolves because of their defense, and their defense can travel, and they give Denver, it's a real matchup situation for Denver. And so I am a believer in the Wolves, even though they really haven't advanced in the playoffs literally in 20 years. I mean, I have said Anthony Edwards was basically in diapers the last time this team won a playoff series. So they need to be at full power, and this is a significant injury. So We will know more in the next few days. The Wolves do have terrific depth at big man. Naz Reid is arguably the best big man off the bench in the NBA, or at least one of the best. And so if Towns has to miss time, they have that other option. But Karl Towns adds a level of spacing and scoring from that four spot that you almost can't find anywhere in the league, especially with a defensive player like Rudy Gobert. So this is a very concerning development for the Timberwolves. And if I'm the Western Conference, especially that top four, where they're all so tightly bound up, I'm talking the Thunder are a half game back, the Nuggets are a game back going into tonight's big game with the Celtics. I am watching very closely for how this Towns injury ends up playing out, because it could have a huge impact on the Wolves' ability to finish the season strong.
And again, that's one of the things you keep an eye on, because not just, I don't know if the Pels can catch where Minnesota is, John, with just 20 games remaining, but it's more of who Minnesota's playing, you know, especially when it comes to teams over in the West. That was on NBA Today. I was on First Take, sorry, but on NBA Today yesterday and on First Take, man, Pels getting a lot of love from Kendrick Perkins. We'll play some of that here as well in hour number two as we come back to Katie's. It is Thursday. Our crew of Katie's, as Chef Scotty's to our right, doing stuff with this truck. He's catering literally while we're trying to do the show. Poor guy. He's never not busy.
You gotta work.
Never not busy. Phone lines open. No guests the rest of the way. It's the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.